You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into this edition of Philip Jordan Show podcast. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in studio host and producer, Dustin Woods Football, on 96.9, the legend and Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. Got a fun show planned for you guys today. I am going to be joined by the voice of the Florida State Seminoles, Jeff Colhane, also here over on the Behind the Mic podcast. We will jump into, look back a little bit on last season, 2023. With the Florida State Seminoles in football. And also, we will talk about this past weekend's spring showcase for Seminoles. They really didn't have a spring game. It's more of a showcase slash practice. But still, we will talk about what Jeff saw, what were some big takeaways from that. And we do something interesting with Jeff to bring back an old segment. I think if you're new to the show, you will enjoy. And of course, we got some news to discuss here on the show as well. You can check out the Philip Jordan Show podcast over at wiregrassdailynews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. Everybody, my featured guest this week, always a joy to get to talk to this guy, Jeff Colhane, the radio voice, play-by-play for the Florida State Seminoles, who just had their spring game this past Saturday. Also, check them out on the Behind the Mic podcast. You want to know everything that's going on with Florida State Athletics? Go download the podcast after you listen to this one. Go check out Behind the Mic. And Jeff, always a joy to have you on the show.
Philip, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you, and obviously – a fun weekend for Florida State fans everywhere with the spring showcase on Saturday, and got our first glimpse of the 2024 edition of Mike Norvell's football program. So exciting stuff, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It was on my to-do list. One of the things I was looking forward to the most on Saturday, a busy sports Saturday, always busy sports weekend. But yeah, it was great to see the Seminoles, not really as much of a spring game, more of a showcase slash practice, but still really cool to see the new Noles out there performing in front of those great fans. But, you know, before we jump into that, I do want to – I really don't feel like I've had this opportunity to do so. Look back at the 2023 Florida Seminoles. We know the disappointment, not getting into the playoff, Orange Bowl. But before that, an undefeated ACC champion. Just reflecting back, where do you think – how that Florida State team should be remembered as, you know, we do turn the page, we look forward to 2024, but, you know, just looking back at 2023.
Yeah, Philip, I think they're one of the all-time great teams in program history. And, you know, I heard Mike Norvell talk about this on another show. You know, it's one of the great teams in college football history. I mean, There aren't many that go unbeaten and win their conference championship. Unfortunately, we know how the month of December went at the end of this last season, but it was an amazing year, a year full of memories. And, you know, I remember going into it, you know, how big of a game the LSU game was in Orlando, the Clemson game on the road at the end of the month. And I remember, you know, I was talking about that last year, and if we could navigate those games and be 4-0 going the bye week, this team had a chance to do something really, really special. And they did. And, you know, 13 wins for the third time. I mean, there's the prime example. Just 3 times in the history of the program, 13 wins. Certainly that's relative to how many games you play in a season and conference championship games and playoff games now. But it was an amazing fall and one that I'll never forget. I know Seminole fans will never forget as well. And, you know, for us, I think it's being able to remember the great and not clinging on to how it ended. And The snub from the committee, you know, obviously the team was not the same team going into the bowl game and facing a great Georgia team that had nearly all of their players playing in that game outside of a couple. So it was a tough December. It was an amazing fall and one that we'll all remember forever.
Yeah, because last season felt like it was almost a changing of the guard in ACC. You know, forever in ACC, it was Florida State. That was the the conference that belonged to the Seminoles. Then Clemson kind of took it over. Then last year, beating Clemson, great game. Felt like kind of that turning of the tide a little bit in the ACC. And, you know, you're right. And Kirby Smart even talked about after the Orange Bowl. He knew good and well they weren't going up against the same Florida State team. And I'll tell you what was impressive for me, and I think if you're a Florida State fan, alumni, supporter, whatever, you know, former player, former coach, anything, just seeing how Jordan Travis, you know, a lot of guys could just say, okay, I got injured, I got to go do my thing. He stayed involved with the team in that tough. And then you see him there on Saturday at the spring game. They're supporting the team. And you even heard EJ Manuel on the TV broadcast, ACC Network. He said, what, last year's Florida State team, they laid the blueprint for future teams under Mike Norvell.
Mm-hmm. There's no question. That's the culture of this place. You know, the ability that Mike Norvell and his staff have in recruiting, you know, the biggest, fastest, strongest, best fit for Florida State football. And they have done an amazing job developing this culture from within. And it's guys like Jordan Travis that are a big reason why, you know, this program is where it's at right now. And Jordan, you know, sticking it through and going through some tough times. It was not easy for Jordan during his career. He was not, as all know the story, it was not a just step on campus and be the star. I mean, he went through a lot. And so I appreciate Jordan Travis and who he is as a person. He's going to be somebody that an NFL team gets, and he's going to provide them with the spark. I can promise you that. That's just – that's how he's wired. And so there's a culture laid here that Mike Norvell has started, but you got to give the players a ton of credit for continuing to keep that buy-in during some tough times and staying focused and staying the course. And it's obviously paid off in a big way.
So let's look at the 2024 Seminoles. Went through spring practice. You know, I've kind of like after sometimes when I have people on after a spring game or and spring practice has concluded, but what was kind of like going into spring, some things you were paying attention to with this team?
Well, there's certainly a lot of changes from a personnel standpoint. There's a lot of great players moving on to the NFL. We had 12 guys at the NFL Combine, which is the third most of any football program in the country. And we lost some really good players. I mean, Jordan Travis, Trey Benson, Jaheim Bell, Keon Coleman, Johnny Wilson, just to name a few on offense. On defense, Jared Verse is going to be a first-round pick. Fabian Lovett, you know, all these guys, Kalen DeLoach, Tatum Bethune, on and on and on and on. Jarian Jones, Renardo Green, these guys, Akeem Dent, all great players collegiately and will play in the NFL in some way, shape, or form. So you got to replace those pieces. And the staff has done an amazing job again, Phillip, of roster management with a great recruiting class, with high school talent, and an infusion of players out of the transfer portal. I think from a fan standpoint, everyone was very curious to see DJ Uiagalelei for the first time. And physically, he's a pro right now. He can make every single throw, every single play. It's just the continued development of coming in, learning a new language, learning a new playbook, getting on the same page with your teammates and your receivers. And that's the big challenge, right? The mental side of it as a quarterback playing with in a new system and playing with new, you know, new pieces. So physically, he's tremendous. I can't wait to see him play and just seeing the new guys that are filling in at spots where you're looking to replace some stars. Roydell Williams at running back, Malik Benson at wide receiver, Jaylen Brown at wide receiver, some good players along the offensive line, Richie Leonard, TJ Ferguson. I think Florida State's defensive front is tremendous, might be deeper, which is saying something, than it was a year ago with, you know, the addition of guys like Marvin Jones Jr. and Grady Kelly out of Colorado State along the interior, Sione Lolohea, Tomiwa Durajaye as well. Those are all guys that came in via the portal that are going to play and that are going to help out returners like Pat Payton, who's an All-American candidate this year. I think Daryl Jackson and Josh Farmer might be one of the best defensive tackle duos in the country, which is saying something coming off of Fabian Lovett and Braden Fisk a year ago. So, you know, it's fun to see just the new pieces, questions you have. You want to see how things come together at linebacker, replacing Bethune and DeLoach. You know, who's the safety next to Shaheem Brown? and who's going to be a guy that steps up and kind of helps pick up some of the loss of Keon and Johnny. So there's all sorts of questions to be answered. Thankfully, we have, I believe the number is 124 days until our first meeting of the season in Dublin, Ireland with Georgia Tech. So we got time. We got time.
I have a question about that. If we get the five questions off the air, I will give you a teaser. There's a question that involves that opener. But DJU, and it's kind of interesting with him. Interesting story. Just really, you know, he was at Clemson, and we all know he played for Trevor Lawrence against Notre Dame, had a great game. And I think as soon as he had that game, the next year we all, myself included, I think everybody put an expectation on him. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out at Clemson. He goes to Oregon State, which I think his last year in 2022 at Clemson, I know eventually he got benched for Cade Klubnik in the ACC championship game. But I think he played much better that year versus his first year's full-time starter. Goes to Oregon State, gets away from Clemson. I think he played really well there, over 2,600 yards passing, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So coming back to ACC at Florida State, just to, you know, from what you've seen, what have you seen out of DJU that shows, you know, we talked about that development where you see, you know, this could be that year he really takes that really big step under Mike Norvell.
Well, he's well traveled. He's seen about everything. Mm-hmm. And we know he's talented. I mean, he was the number one pocket passer in the country coming out of high school, came in with a ton of fanfare. You laid out, you know, his background, his track record. He had a tremendous season, a solid season at Oregon State last year. In fact, they were the number 10 team in the country on November 18th last season. They were 8-2 and had to play Washington and Oregon to end the year. So they were having one heck of a year, and he was a big reason why mm-hmm. that was the case. I'm very, very fascinated to see how he and Mike Norvell and Tony Tokars and Alex Atkins come together and put a plan together that brings out the best in him, because I think his best is pretty spectacular. And, you know, Clemson was going through some times where, you know, things weren't working offensively. And I don't think it was all because of him. I think there were some things, some changes at coordinator that were going on, some things that just weren't quite clicking from a continuity standpoint. One of his best games he's ever played in a Clemson uniform, Phillip, was here at Doak Campbell Stadium, 2022. He was unbelievable. I mean, he threw for 3 touchdowns and ran for another against a Florida State defense that turned out to be one of the best passing defenses in all of college football that year. He was in control that night. The week before against Wake Forest on the road against one of Wake's best teams ever, I believe he threw for 5 touchdowns and a double overtime win. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy can play. He's just been around a lot of change, and can the continuity piece, can the calming influence of Mike Norvell and his vision bring out the best in him? And look, think of a one-year guy like a Keon Coleman. I mean, how great was Keon Coleman last year for Florida State? He's one of the best wide receivers in all of college football. And I think what Mike Norvell does, I don't think I know what he does, is he puts these players, these young men, in the best position to succeed in this offense. And he lets those guys go play. And I think if DJ, if he can just go play and not worry, not that he does, but just worry about what's happening on the field between the white lines, this guy has it all. And so I'm excited to see, you know, some of the throws that he made in practice with just effortless. He made it look as simple as you and I, you know, trying to do. It ain't that simple. I mean, he's throwing 50, 60-yard passes with a flick of the wrist. He is gifted. And I can't wait to see him continue to learn and grow and thrive throughout this next calendar year.
I know it you know, went down a little bit of injury there in the spring showcase, but Malik Benson looks like the next guy. You talked about, you know, with Keon Coleman and Johnny Wilson gone, I mean, just the athleticism coming over from Alabama. You know, your thoughts on that kind of that early connection between those two.
Yeah, he's a talent. I mean, Malik has huge speed. He has great athleticism, has great hands, has a good feel for the game. You know, even watching him a little bit in practice and then on Saturday as well before he got dinged up a little bit. You can tell he's got a great feel for the game. And you saw some of the connections, even though there were a ton of them, he and DJ hooked up on a few passes that are tough to connect on. And those guys are going to continue to grow and continue to get better, you know, rep by rep, practice by practice, game by game. So You know, I think Malik believes that he can be that go-to guy when a big play is needed, like Keon and Johnny were in this offense. I know Mike Norvell has huge expectations for Malik and high expectations and believes he can be a great player and an entertaining and energetic player for this offense as well. And hopefully that injury is going to be okay. He got rolled up on a little bit blocking early on in the spring showcase, but give him a clean bill of health, and I think he and DJ are going to do some tremendous things together.
Yeah, it just like I said, it was a catch toward the sideline. It's just an incredible throw and catch. I mean, it looks like something you see on Sundays at the NFL. Yeah. I mean, you've got two guys that look like a part of professionals out there. So
yeah,
it'll be fun. Defense, and you talked about defensive front. Marvin Jones Jr., he really showed out. I mean, he had some big plays there too as well. Got a for people on YouTube, I'm doing air quote sack. I mean, we know a sack in a spring kind of situation is different in a real game, but still, I mean, he caused pressure. He, you know, he got through the offensive line. Just a tremendous performance by Marvin Jones Jr., another transfer coming over from Georgia. I mean, I know we call Lane Kiffin the portal king, but hey, Jeff, don't we need to put that on Mike Norvell too?
Oh, I think that's people know. I mean, they know Mike Norvell's capability of bringing in tremendous talent, tremendous young men to fit what he's building here. And it's a great locker room. He's got the right, as we talked about earlier, the perfect fit, no matter who these young men are coming in for what Florida State is under his watch. And Marvin Jones Jr. certainly has the connection here with his father, as one of the all-time greats to ever wear the Garden and Gold. And Marvin played and was a part of big games at Georgia, was a part of their national championship team in 2022. So he knows success. He's been around winning and wanted to come back home. And so we're happy to have him. I can tell you that. He was flying all over the field. He's very athletic. There was a play where he dropped into coverage from defensive end and nearly had a pick in the middle of the field, jumping in front of Roydell Williams, another transfer from Alabama that's got a high ceiling here at Florida State. So, yeah, the defensive front, Phillip, is – even though there's some pieces you have to, take care of that were lost and supplement some losses, I think this staff has done it and then some. And I think this team, this group, could be even deeper than the one a year ago. And it's amazing to say this was a defensive line that averaged 3.3 sacks per game, sixth best in the country. There's going to be another group that can bring 9-10 deep and not have a drop-off talent-wise all across the board.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting and a fun team to get ready for, I think, as we get closer when the season does get here. Because I think a lot of people say, hey, they lost all them guys. But when you look at who they're bringing in, the talent's there for another run at the ACC and, of course, college football playoff. And, Jeff, I know we did 15, 20 minutes. We got a few minutes left. Are you up for five questions?
Let's go.
It's the who, what, where, when, why, and how. Let's find out what's on the mind of today's guest with five questions.
Okay, so I kind of teased this question early on in our conversation. So question number one, what are you most looking forward to Florida State playing in Dublin, Ireland in the season opener against Georgia Tech?
Are we talking about football or are we talking about in Dublin, Philip? Because those are two very different questions.
Let's just go – just overall, I guess just overall, that'll be kind of the way I'll lay out that question.
I've never been overseas before, so I'm looking forward to that experience. I can't wait to get to Dublin. I think it's going to be an amazing atmosphere. I think Florida State fans are going to take over Aviva Stadium. I think you're going to hear the war chant echoing throughout downtown Dublin, throughout the pubs. I think it's going to have a little bit of an English football type of feel. They're big rugby. They got the best rugby team in the world over there. I think it's going to have that kind of a passion and following for this game. It's been an event that was announced this time last year, and ever since that point, there's been a buildup to this. Our fans have been talking about it. Are you going? Are you not? Man, if you're not going, you're going to miss a great experience. And so I can't wait. There's a lot of fun stuff to do there. We've had the Irish contingent in Tallahassee a few different times from the Aer Lingus group. And so they know how to have a good time. That's for darn sure. So we treated them while they were here. We know they'll reciprocate that when we're over there. And We'll enjoy the lead up and certainly enjoy the festivities and the football game that weekend.
Yes, the international soccer crowd meets college football. It's the perfect marriage, in my opinion.
Yeah,
really can't tell the difference. There's gonna be a lot of passion. All right, second question. This and these last ones are more about you yourself. If you weren't in sports broadcasting, what do you think you'd be doing?
Wow, that's a great question. I enjoy being around people. Whether it's a marketing based, type of role, an entertainment based type of role. I would love to be involved in something in sports still, I would think. And so whether that's working within a professional sports team or within college athletics somewhere else, I think sports would probably have to be connected to it in some way, shape, or form. That's just kind of how I've always been wired growing up. I've always loved it, always enjoyed it. And so I would think there would have to be something from a sports standpoint that I'd love to do. I enjoy movies. I haven't been able to watch movies a ton since my two sons were born. So I love going to the theater, and I've always thought maybe being a movie critic would be a fun profession, but I don't want to be that guy that tears down a movie that I think is bad, because I know how much hard work goes into, a production and putting on a show and the entertainment aspect of it. And, I'm not really that guy to bring that down. So I'd probably be a bad critic. I probably would give everybody 5 stars every single time. So
I mean, you're on the same wave with that. I always tell people I did not want to get into sports. I would want to do movie or TV stuff, but I'm always the guy. It's got to be really bad for me to say something bad about it. I'm I'm the guy that tries to find something good out of the film or the TV show. So I'll be the same way as you. Favorite sport? Or let me rephrase that. Sport or event that you haven't got the call that you would like to?
Golf. 100%. Love to be, everybody says you love to be at a major tournament. Of course, those are the best. Right. But I think being a part of some kind of a golf production or broadcast, I think that would be a lot of fun.
All right. Favorite moment on the 2023 season.
Oh, well, it's tough to top. There's so many of them, man. There's so many of them. If you start chronologically, the LSU game was kind of this, I don't know if coming out party is the right word, because this was a 10-win team from a year ago that had high expectations. But to beat LSU the way Florida State did to start the year, and then you to see that Jaden Daniels was the Heisman Trophy winner and got held to essentially nothing in that game, really painted a picture for everybody about the capability of Florida State. That was great at the start. Certainly the win at Clemson was unbelievable. What an atmosphere. Anytime you beat your rivals the way that Florida State did, those are always going to go down as ones that you'll never forget. The Duke game was one that I'd been preaching forever not to overlook, because, Duke under Mike Elko had really turned the corner, and Florida State was down double digits until Deuce Spann had that 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown that blew the roof off, proverbial roof off of Doe Campbell Stadium, if you will, that night. So many memories, and obviously the ACC championship game with all the challenges and Jordan being hurt, Tate Rodemaker out. We're down to Brock Glenn, who did an unbelievable job managing things and hanging in there against a really good Louisville team. To get to 13-0 and bring home a conference title, that was a night I think we'll always remember.
All right, number five. The most important question of all, and this is when I ask everybody the first time to go through this. You're at a game, not a broadcaster, you're just there as a fan. You're just going with the family, some friends, whatever the situation. What is your go-to stadium food?
Go-to stadium food? Man, it depends on where you're at, right? It depends if you're at a baseball game, if you're at a football game. Or he had a golf tournament. I mean, I'll never forget, I went to the U.S. Open at the Olympic Club outside of San Francisco, and they're known for these cheeseburgers that are like foot long cheeseburgers. They're not sliders, they're not hoagies, but they're made not like any other cheeseburger you've ever seen. And yet you had to get it, right? You had to, of course, order it. And so I definitely got one of those and had one of those. But just your basic, I'm your basic. Give me a hot dog, give me a beer, maybe some nachos. Definitely turn into a popcorn guy as I've gotten older. I'm pretty basic. Nothing real flashy about me right here. Just give me a little something. I should be good to go.
All right. Yeah, that's always my favorite question to ask is the stadium. Of course, everybody loves the food. I mean, that's one of the good things when you go to a game. You always look, right. Okay, how much food am I going to intake while I'm here at the stadium? But, but Jeff, I had a great time having you on once again, as always. Appreciate you partaking in the five questions. Again, a lot of excitement around this Florida State team. Can't wait till the season gets here. Can't wait till they go to Dublin, Ireland for that matchup. That's going to be fun to watch on TV. I hope you have a lot of fun there going overseas. But if the listeners and viewers will check you out, where can they find you?
Yeah, thanks, Philip. You mentioned the podcast earlier. Please feel free to download the Behind the Mic podcast on all streaming platforms. If you're a Noles fan, we got you covered with coaches, administrators, student athletes, former players are a part of it. We've got it's a fun podcast for Florida State fans that are looking for a little more. So download the Behind the Mic podcast, the official podcast of FSU Athletics.
Everybody, go do that. Follow Jeff. And Jeff, I appreciate the time, and I look forward to talking again sometime down the road.
Philip, great talking to you, and looking forward to this upcoming season. Thanks for having me on, and go Noles.
96.9 The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows like Rick and Bubba in the Morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits 106.7 KMX, Today's Country 95.5 WTVY, and Music 107.7, Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
All right. Once again, thanks to Jeff Colhane for coming on the show. Always appreciate him coming on, talking all things Florida State athletics, football. A lot of fun. Appreciate him doing five questions there, bringing that back to the show. Let's look over some news items real quick. And for anybody listening, I want some feedback. What do you prefer? Do you prefer the news segment to open the show or close the show? That has always been a struggle I've had. Do I open with the news, or do I just jump right into the guest interview? Or would you rather I jump into the news first and then we play the guest interview? I kind of can do it back and forth. I feel like I'm rotating in and out. Like this week, I'm doing the last couple episodes I've done it to kick off the show. I don't know. Just give me your thoughts. I really would appreciate that feedback. But anyway, so look at some news. This is all State Alabama related. I'm just saying there's some stuff to get into here. So I'm going to talk about Auburn adds a lot of defensive line depth. The last couple of days, Auburn has been on fire in recruiting on that. And look, that's a part of Auburn after spring. You heard Hugh Freeze talk about it. That's where an area Auburn was kind of thin. And look, replacing Marcus Harris was going to be tough. 7 sacks last year. This is a guy we know is going to get drafted this weekend in the NFL draft. So you had to look, okay, how does Auburn replace that? I mean, Jason Jones is coming back, and then they did go into the winter portal and got Gage Keys out of Kansas and Trill Carter out of Texas. But still, you can obviously tell Hugh Freeze wanted to add a little bit more depth there. And Auburn has done that. They first up, it started with Indiana's Philip Bleedy. He is 6'3", 295-pound defensive lineman, 30 tackles and 4 tackle for losses. Last season was his first year at Indiana after spending 3 years at Texas Tech, so 1 year eligibility there for him. Then they also went and got Isaiah Rakes, which he played at Texas A&M last year. So after the season, he did transfer to USC. enters the portal once again, and now Auburn gets him. 6'1", 215-pound there. As I said, played 4 years at A&M, so 1 year eligibility left for him. He did transfer to Southern Cal after the season. Over his time there at A&M, 42 games, 43 tackles, 4.5 TFLs, and 1 fumble forced in his career. And what is key here, obviously, 2 years with DJ Durkin. So he knows what to expect out of the new defense coordinator there at Auburn. But just to add depth, especially on the interior part of the defensive line, Auburn needed a lot of help there. Again, with Marcus Harris not being there, just Auburn really didn't have a lot of depth there last year, to be honest. I don't think Justin Rogers really turned out, the transfer from Kentucky from a year ago. I don't think he really turned out the way Auburn was hoping he would. So big gets there for Auburn. Now on the edge, they did also land Kieron Crawford out of Arkansas State. He has spent the last 2 years there, so he has 2 years of eligibility remaining. His past season, they're in the Sun Belt, 6.5 sacks, 11.5 TFLs, 45 tackles, and 2 forced fumbles. Really good player, and this adds depth to put behind Jalen McLeod and then Keldrick Falk, who is a player I know you hear Freeze talk about a lot. Did last year, too, as well. But a guy that you really want to see take that next step. Auburn needs pass rushing on the edge. In the SEC, all the good quarterbacks you're going to see, especially now with Oklahoma, Texas coming in, you're going to see a lot of great quarterbacks. You're going to have to get pressure on this quarterback. So being able to defend a run up the middle, which Auburn was okay at last year, they weren't great at it, and also getting pressure on the quarterback, which Auburn was pretty much middle of the pack in the SEC. Getting better there will be key for Auburn, for Hugh Freeze to have success in year two. Now, Auburn's also looking to add in the wide receiver room. Now, obviously, we know about all the freshmen coming in. We saw Cam Coleman in the spring game. Impressive performance he put on there. So, Auburn's got a guy at receiver, it seems. Perry Thompson is coming in this summer. You got Bryce Kane also coming in as well. He was in the spring. So, and you've seen Jay Fair, Auburn receiver. He entered a portal. So, a lot of Auburn receivers since the end of last year have left the program. So the receiver room really a little different. But Auburn is looking to add another receiver. They did hold a visit over this past weekend. Penn State wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith. He is now down to Auburn and Texas A&M per a report over at On3. He is the number one wide receiver available. In 2023, he had 53 catches, 673 yards, and 4 touchdowns. Against West Virginia last year, this was his biggest performance. 4 catches for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. So Auburn could add more depth to that. He mix in a player with experience like he does, and also with the young talent that's coming in wide receiver, that's big. Of course, Auburn fans want to see quarterback. I still believe Peyton Thorne's going to be the guy starting game one. But let's see. Jaden Rashada, now he's visiting Georgia on the 30th and the 1st of May, but Auburn has been listed again on 3 as potentially could be a place that he may visit. Mississippi State was also mentioned along with that. Over in basketball last week, didn't really get to this. This happened toward the end of last week. Janai Broom at Auburn will return next season. You obviously got to believe a lot of NIL had to come into play with this decision, but a guy that was probably going to be a second-round pick or may not get drafted. And then you got to look at, okay, what would happen then? Probably ends up in the G League, even if he does get drafted in the second round. Obviously, was not even looked at or talked about as a first-round draft pick. So him coming in, coming back, you figure, okay, NIL, he'll make more money NIL than if he had to play in the G League. 16.5 points per game last year. Really improved as a three-pointer. Really good rebounder. Really good defender. Auburn's best player. One of the best players in college basketball. Definitely coming into this season. You get a returning player, running it back one more year. Of course, Auburn got good news, too, with Dylan Cardwell coming back. Too bad Jalen Williams is out of eligibility, but they'll have to find a replacement there. But Auburn has lost players, too, especially at the guard position. Trey Donaldson, Aiden Holloway, a little bit more on Aiden Holloway here in a second, and Katie Johnson. All of them have hit the transfer portal. Trey Donaldson is going to Michigan, again, Aiden Holloway in a second. But Auburn does have help coming there, too, as well. They have added Furman guard J.P. Pegues, who was an all-SOCOM player last year at 18.4 points per game. Playmaker with the ball, can run some pick and roll. He can be a spot-up shooter. So that is something Auburn really, really needs. I don't really think they have the playmaker ability with Trey Donaldson and Aiden Holloway that they wanted. Aiden's a solid player, five-star when he came in, but I think obviously Bruce Pearl is looking for a little something different. And guard play has been the issue. It's really been an issue for Auburn the last couple of years. The bigs have been good, but they just really have not been a nail down and have consistent, really top-notch guard play like they did in 2019 when they made a run and got to the Final Four. And also remember, five-star Tahad Pettiford is coming in as well. Bruce Pearl has said he won't be exclusive point guard, so we can see him at shooting guard, I would assume. And other players Auburn does have coming back. Denver Jones at shooting guard, he'll be back. Guard slash forward, kind of like a Swiss Army knife player. Chad Baker Mazzaro, just hope he can stay in games. You know, we saw how it happened in Yelp. And Chaney Johnson as well. So Auburn's got a good team coming back. This should be a top 15 team, in my opinion. Look, obviously the question will be, get to the tournament. Can they get out of first weekend? That's been a struggle for 3 years in a row. So we'll see. That will be the question. Now, on Aiden Holloway, he is committing to Alabama. So it's going to be interesting when he does return to Auburn. I'm pretty sure there's going to be a lot of boos. So just be prepared for that, Aiden. Aiden has shown ability at times. He had games where he really showed the ability, but also at times it felt like he disappeared. Against Yale, 13 minutes a game, he did not score in the game. So he had solid performances. He didn't. It was up and down. 7.3 points per game this past year, 2.7 on assists, and 1.5 rebounds. Mark Sears, he's declared for NBA draft, but he still has his eligibility, that thing there. So we're not really 100% sure where he lands if he come back, if he's not for Alabama. So obviously Nate Oates knew he needed to get some guard depth. There you got it with Aiden. Aiden's a terrific player, talented player, but it just didn't seem like the fit was there at Auburn. And then just a couple more in-state things before we get out of here. T-Day will be this weekend in Troy. I will be there. I'm going to go check it out. Of course, that will be at 2 o'clock at the Vet. It's free. Go check out Troy Trojans. The first spring game for head coach Jared Parker. Just kind of three things to look at. Quarterback replacing Gunnar Watson. I want to see how the running backs look. Kamani Vidal, an all-timer there for Troy. And then defense. A lot of players to replace there. How will the defense look? Of course, we know the spring games, you can't really gather too many conclusions what the season's going to look like, but still, this is your first look at the team. And then, look, anybody that follows me on social media and all that stuff knows I am a big fan of the UFL, particularly the Birmingham Stallions. They're 4-0. Look, DC, they beat them 2018, kicked a field goal there at the end to win it. Rainy day, rainy night, it was bad weather there in Birmingham. But two early fumbles in the first quarter inside the five-yard line. We've heard in these mock-up situations with Skip Holtz, the head coach, say, hey, the only team, these teams can't beat us if we don't beat ourselves. And then, obviously, Birmingham tried to beat themselves. They did after the long rain delay. Again, close game there with D.C., who's a solid 2-2 team in the XFL conference. But they do win. Matt Crail got the start in this one. 19 for 29, 241 touchdown. I would like to see Skip Holtz just go with either Martinez or Corral and not do the back and forth, you know, flip back and forth. But that is where we are right now. They will play the 1-3 Houston Roughnecks Saturday night, 6 o'clock on Fox. So check that out. See if the Stallions get at the midway point, stay undefeated. The big thing with that's going to be in week 7. They will host on May 11th the St. Louis Battlehawks, who are quarterbacked by AJ McCarron. That's going to be their biggest test. I think if they get by St. Louis, this should be an undefeated team. All right. That is going to do it for this edition of Philip Jordan Show. And I asked you a question about when I should do the headlines and news and stuff like that. Also, thinking about moving the show later on in the week. And here's why. So we come on here middle of the week sometimes. And, you know, the week before, after we've done the show, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you have news to hit. And then also after that. So I was thinking maybe if something big, now during football season, we will be twice a week. We'll have the recaps early in the week of what happened that weekend. So college football season comes around, we will be twice a week. But maybe perhaps here in the offseason, maybe we could do, I could do it in short, solo pod, just whatever happened on the weekend, if a lot of big stuff happened over the weekend. But also thinking about just moving the show later in the week, Thursday night, Friday morning, and then just kind of do like a big recap the biggest things happen a week. And of course, we have guest interviews. So I really want to get your thoughts. So please let me know. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSCC. The podcast is available on all your favorite podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you're just a straight-up hater. You can check out the Jeff Colhane interview also on YouTube. I'm really only putting the interviews on YouTube right now, not putting a full show. Because the solo stuff I'm doing right now is just audio. I'm not doing it on video. But anyways, you can check out my YouTube channel, Phil Jordan Sports. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell for all notifications. And please leave a comment on the video. And I'll also read that on a future edition as well. You can email me at sports.philjordan@gmail.com. And also, check out my written work over at Last Word on College Football. I have a new article that should be up not too long after this podcast goes up, looking at those defense linemen that the Auburn Tigers did sign. And it won't be too long until the Wiregrass High School Football Report is coming at you at a more regular basis. So check that out. Go check out all the latest stuff. Keep up with your news in the Wiregrass, over at Wiregrass Daily News. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here. We'll be back next week. I've already got one guest lined up. We may have more than one guest on the show next week. So figuring some stuff out, but for sure. And we'll get into some NFL draft stuff next week as well, especially with the in-state schools and just kind of overall thoughts with that as well. So a lot to get to next week. Is constantly busy time, especially only doing one of these a week. A lot to discuss, a lot to talk about. So be back next week. Anyways, I hope everybody enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoy your weekend. Till next time. Bye-bye.